You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was preached on October 15th, 2017, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, by the Reverend Lex Breckenridge, rector at St. Thomas.
They came from Boston and they came from Austin. They came from New York and from New Orleans. From as far away as the Netherlands and as close by as just down the road. Last weekend, they all came to Sonoma for a wedding feast, a wedding banquet. Our son Robert and his darling Jesse were married on a hilltop under a pair of beautiful old California black ash trees, surrounded literally by the fruits of the vine and the bounty of the earth. It was, and I say this not just because it was a celebration that included my family, a little slice of the kingdom of heaven. So they came from everywhere, and they were all wearing their finest. Whether it was the East Coast guys in their sharp suits or the laid-back Californians who were a little more casual, everyone wore their finest. And on that day, they were all nourished by the Spirit. The wedding liturgy, those timeless words in the Book of Common Prayer, captures so much of what needs to be said about commitment and patience and mercy in married life and really in all our lives. And even the unchurched who were wedding guests that day were touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, one nice man came up to me after the service and said, "I wouldn't necessarily call myself a Christian, but if I was, I would go to your church." See, the Spirit works with great subtlety and great mystery, right? Now, people come to wedding feasts for all kinds of reasons, but as good a reason as I've ever heard came from one of Robert's friends. When I thanked him for coming all the way out from New York for the wedding, this young man said, "I would go anywhere and do anything for Robert." Wow. If you don't think that didn't fill a dad's heart. The commitment of love and encouragement and support for one's friend, to be beside one's friend in everything that life serves up, that's real friendship. That's real love. It's what wedding feasts celebrate. Wedding feasts celebrate love and commitment. Now, this wedding feast, this wedding banquet last weekend in Sonoma, invites us to look at another wedding banquet. A wedding banquet that's at first glance maybe a little odd, maybe even a little unsettling. This parable we just heard is the last of the three parables that Jesus tells the religious leaders in the temple at Jerusalem. They and their followers, these people of Israel, are clearly the first invited guests who have refused the invitation to the great banquet. And so the king, who in this parable is the stand-in for God, extends the invitation beyond Israel to the whole world, including the good and the bad. And that's important. Everyone, including the bad, gets an invitation. Now, if Jesus had stopped right there, the parable might not be so disturbing. It's really great news that God welcomes the bad along with the good. Let me just say, it gives me some hope. But Jesus doesn't stop there. It turns out there's a poor schmuck who didn't read his invitation to the wedding closely enough. The part where it said black tie. The part where it said, "Come in your finest." I mean, he just shows up in his fleece and his blue jeans and his dirty hiking boots and expects to be an honored guest. Surprise! He gets thrown out into darkness. Yikes! So what's this all mean? Did the invitation to the bad get yanked all of a sudden? And do I need to start worrying because, well, you know, I'm not good all the time? It's a little more complicated than that, and a lot more demanding. And it really needs to hit home to you and me. Many are called, but few are chosen. Yes, indeed they are. The chosen ones are the ones who are awake. The chosen ones are the ones who understand that it's not just enough to just show up. The chosen ones are the ones who understand that the gospel calls forth something. The gospel demands something from us. The invitation to the banquet is a call to action. The church can't be a place that doesn't change lives. I mean, that's our mission. And that, in fact, is our most important mission. In fact, it might be our only mission, is to transform lives, to bring ourselves and others into relationship with the risen Christ so that our lives will be transformed for service in the world. One of the reasons I love Eucharistic Prayer C, which we use here at St. Thomas during the Easter season, are the following words in the Great Thanksgiving. We say, "Open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world around us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to the table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in His name." There's the punch in the parable right there. If we show up just expecting to be made to feel good about ourselves, without any expectation of change or transformation for service in the world in Christ's name, well, we're going to be disappointed. In fact, I'll go so far as to say that one of the principal reasons for the decline of Christianity in the West has been the church's complacency. We've been content for the church to baptize the status quo. The church has been content to ignore injustice, and the church has been content to ignore the suffering of others as long as it didn't really affect us. In short, a church that doesn't ask anything of its people leaves them like the disappointed wedding guest, ill-clothed and ill-prepared for the work of bringing in the kingdom. But what kind of clothes are we supposed to put on? Well, the Apostle Paul says over and over in Romans that we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says over and over again in the epistle to the Ephesians that we must put on the armor of Christ. He says to the Galatians that in baptism we have become clothed with Christ. And he tells the Galatians that they are in Christ. The wedding guest gets cast into darkness because he has refused to become clothed with Christ. His everyday clothes, his everyday habits and practices, his complacency don't work. You can't just show up, expect to be fed, and then go home. There's work to do to bring in the kingdom. There's work to do for your life to be transformed in Christ. I'm going to borrow some language from the 12 steps here. I'm going to invite all of us to go home this afternoon and make what the 12 steps call a fearless moral inventory. A fearless moral inventory. What are you doing? And I mean you personally. What are you doing to bring in the kingdom? That's the question the wedding guest missed. You personally. A few months ago, some amazing St. Thomas people decided after hearing a sermon kind of like this that part of bringing in the kingdom meant supporting the Northwest Immigrant Rights Project, a legal aid organization. And these amazing people, in the space of about 10 days, organized a fundraiser which resulted in donations of over $50,000 to this organization that stands by the poor and the disenfranchised. That's putting on the full armor of Christ. That's being clothed with Christ. That's working to bring in the kingdom. What will you and I do? Let's think about that as we make our fearless moral inventory this afternoon. How will we be clothed with Christ? All throughout Scripture, in both the Hebrew and the Christian Testaments, the image of a great banquet, of a great feast, is offered to describe the kingdom of heaven. Life with God is a continuing feast where all are nourished and loved. But the guests have their own role to play. And they can't be passive, just showing up and expecting to be waited on. Our wedding feast last weekend in Sonoma felt to Zani and me like a little slice of the kingdom of heaven. One reason is that each guest brought something special. There was so much love and warmth and encouragement for the young couple in the air. Robert's friend's observation that he would go anywhere and do anything for his friend really captured the spirit of service and commitment and love that was a sure sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Everyone there had brought their finest wedding garments. So what about us now today? Will we just show up and expect to be waited on? Or will we clothe ourselves with Christ and get to work bringing in the kingdom? Our host is waiting for our answer. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.